Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. If you want to join us, we have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. And if you want to participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my personal account is Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. So to find my Twitter, it's twitter.com/PaulFranz. Also, of course, we have the lovely sfuoncall Twitter account. So you can follow what's going on with this podcast. And, of course, my other account for my business called Franz Games. Called FranzGames. And, of course, these lovely talkcasts gets turned to podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. We have, of course, some new to Warehouse 23, Drive-Thru RPG, and Wargame Vault this week was Nexus number 7. And also last week, they released 44 new ships to the shop on Shapeways. Steve Cole was busy working on the newsletter. You know, learning rank and insignias, which that sounds really interesting. And then the Gorn Master Starship book, you know, doing some graphics and things like that. And of course, Shapeways. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates and also working on the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy compiling information for the newsletter, uploading things for Shapeways, of course. And then, of course, keeping any spam that occurs on the BBS to go bye-bye. And moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments. Master tournament, we got 5 games completed, which this is really disappointing, guys. We need more done. This is really, really crazy. The Wrath 48 tournament has 22 signups. The tree will be posted this weekend. I'm sorry, I was totally slammed last week. Actually, this week, I didn't get around to it. When it comes up, that's being run by Ron Brynmeyer. And of course, the Platinum Hat tournament, I think it's being run by Bill Scheller. And we have Ted versus Peter Bakia. They've gotten 5 turns in. Ted is really having a hard time of it. Both some miscues and also some bad die rolls. And he thinks he might just give it up. But they're still set to continue on with their game. They have reached turn 5. Now the winner of that will face Paul Graves in the finals. Moving on to the library, there actually has been no library progress this week. I apologize. It's been 2 weeks since our last podcast, and I've yet to get the last 2 Andromedan SSDs converted from the normal to the third generation. So that means that complete conversions still stay at 2,426, with yet to be converted just a little over 906. And you know, likely the percent complete at 62.8%. And we need to get that done, folks. We need to get that done as much as possible. I will need to check with the person keeping a list. I think it was Jason Schaff. I got to contact him to see where is the list when it comes to all of this. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, if I could just get everything out of my mouth, I would be doing much better. Of course, we have the beautiful chat room. We have Matt, who will be back. Dave and Russ. And, of course, we don't have you. Why not? Please, you know, please join us in the chat room. Currently, we're still on TalkShoe. One thing we'll talk about this evening, I'll go, I will, this is my thoughts on this, because I'm also bringing out right now, which is of the possibility of moving to Discord for the podcast. I have to look at it and see what kind of controls I have and so forth. If I can mute people and things like that. Because that's kind of important. Because I think if we could actually move to Discord, I think things would be a lot better. We might probably keep the talk show stuff up just to then kind of move people over to Discord. Because the great thing about Discord, you can actually run Discord in the actual browser itself, or you can actually download the app. So you can do either one. So that would be great. The only difficult part about that, obviously, is going to be call-ins, i.e. Steve Cole and Barry or anyone else who wants to call in. I think Barry, I think I can get him to use the Discord app on his phone. Tougher ones would be like, Steve Cole. So, but in the meantime, I wrote up a diagram of how I'd have to have the audio to work so that I can have people call me on Skype and have maybe one person per call, one person who actually can call in, using their phone, and that'd be it. That could be possibly it. In the meantime, my dear friends, Romans, countrymen. I say lend me your ears, but I really don't want your ears. I want you listening to me, but I don't want your actual ears because that's kind of gross. Cutting off your ear, that'd be kind of gross. Moving forward for the actual first topic for this evening is going to be something that I would have done last week if we were doing a podcast last week, but as you know, I was off. Well, I was actually at that point in time, I was sitting and waiting when normally the podcast starts, but doesn't matter. I had some other thing to do last week. So, those things will occur. And I'm sure, especially when I have a sister-in-law coming in from Costa Rica, you put things aside so you can go pick her up, especially when your wife will pretty much be just senseless. If you don't, at least be very mad at you. So we will move forward on to the month review of the monthly Shapeways update to the new Shapeways managers. We have, of course, we have a couple Gorns that got added this past. Well, I call them two Gorns. They're actually four different Gorn models because they're two different sizes, the 3125 and the 3788s. And then we have the other two different kinds of the same ship, which is scaled versus smooth. Where is it? That's one thing I really wish they could have, like, new items and have them linked in, but I don't think Shapeways allows that. Well, probably maybe next week or maybe next month, but I might do. That might actually work. Okay, let me just look at this because they actually do have a sort by newest, which might do exactly the job I'm looking for. And looks like it is. Let me just look at. This one is. Let me think of how I see this. Oh, that's the medium cruiser SR. Let me see if that should be here. Hopefully. Because if it's not, then we've got an issue. Okay, this one. Sorry, I'm just trying to get things settled in. No. That's not. Okay, so this doesn't. I'm not sure what they consider the latest updates. Now, this one Let's make sure this one's correct. Ah, there's the medium cruiser. Okay. This might actually work out just fine. I'm looking at the, okay. Cool. That's weird. Let's look at this for a moment. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, because we have the medium cruiser, and I don't see the... Let me just... Is this one the heavy... That's the heavy destroyer. Okay. I almost think that they got listed wrong. No. Okay. Looks like this actually will work just fine. Sorry. I apologize for all that rambling. But okay, let's start off with the Gorns. And the Gorns look quite nice, especially at the moment. I'm comparing the scale versus the non-scaled, and I really, at the moment, I'm kind of liking the smooth ones, especially when it comes to the heavy destroyer. Engine's top, bottom, it's actually a quite nice miniature. You know, I'm not into Gorns, but I think they did a really nice job. The medium cruiser, again, it looks pretty much looks like a duplicate of the heavy destroyer for the Gorn, but they added a rear saucer. I'm sure there's little changes that I'm not seeing that are there, but you know, this is cursory. I'm not looking in detail, and I haven't bought any of these. Now, yes, the ones that I love so much. Well, not love really so much, but it's one of the ships that I like a lot, and I'm. Unfortunately, it's not the Klingon B-10T, which I would be really excited to see. I'm pretty sure they don't have that in the Shapeways store. If they don't, I would love to have that, because as I said, it is one of my favorite ships. But on one of the top 10 list, we actually have the Federation light cruiser, the old light cruiser. The old design, which when it originally was produced in SFB terms, when it comes to the timelines, they were the heavy cruisers, and then obviously when there were the new quote unquote heavy cruisers. The new design, where you have the saucer instead of a more flat design. Then this became a light cruiser. Nice. Let me just do one quick thing here, which is to give me the 360 degree angle, because at the moment, there it is. Yeah. It's okay. Me, I would like to have it elongated a little bit. It's pretty compact. I would prefer more of just a little bit elongated, a little bit longer, and then maybe so that same width. A little longer, so that the angle is a little less pronounced. Smaller angle when it comes to the expanding of it. You have to look at the rear hull section of the CL, the light CL, the light cruiser, to really know what I'm talking about. The Federation old light cruiser is what it is. And overall, it's a nice design. But again, as I said, I would have liked it to be a little more elongated. But, you know, I like the design overall. You know, it's exactly what I would expect. I just said I would like to see it to be more elongated. We have, the Nibblehawks. I'm sure you guys will not agree with me, but for the most part, I am not really, when it comes to the miniatures, the Romulans really just don't float my boat much at all. You know, I've got this nice Nibblehawk, which, you know, I like the idea of it, which is more curved looking. Weird part about Nibblehawk K, really weird. You got the two engines on top in the middle, and then you have the two engines on, you know, the bottom, like what you would think of when it comes to a Klingon, like a D7. Okay. Looks pretty nice. I like the way the engines on top look. I think that's really good. That's for the Nibblehawk K. Look at the what's this one? This is Nibblehawk K Plus. Oh, okay. This is the a little difference. To be honest, I do not like the front portion of it. It's like the boom. It's like the boom section for a Klingon. And that I just don't like the way that the head is drawn together. It's maybe it's the miniature itself, because it looks like it's pretty clipped. I'm looking at the 3D modeling, and it looks not quite as clipped, but still, I don't like it. I like the rear section overall. I really like the rear section. But the front, what would I do differently for the bridge is located in the boom section? Up the top, what I would probably do is elongate the nose some. Yeah, that's what I do. I would elongate the nose a bit because it's a little too stubby. I guess that's what it is for that. I think that's just a little too stubby. Yeah, I have been influenced by today's cars, you know, though some Lord knows. I like some of the older cars, you know, the boxy look, which to me, that's kind of a missing part of today's design aesthetic. When it comes to cars, which is everything has to be flowing and nice and smooth. And it's like, yeah, I understand that from a gas mileage perspective, because you get nice, smooth design, you know, it's more overall appealing. Yeah, there are some boxier looks. What's the one? Actually, which was interesting. One where you have like a window which goes around the corner. I forget what that one was called. I almost want to call it the crate, but I don't think that's right. There are some cars that are a little more boxy looking, like the Humvees, the older Humvees. Again, it's like. Even the Humvees are starting to smooth the lines out, you know, make it a little more, I want to say sporting, but I'm not sure exactly you can call a Humvee sporting. And that's the way it looks there. The Hydrogen Overlord. I like that one. I like the way it's flat, elongated. Model, you have the cannons up front, you know. Yeah, I definitely I like the Overlord Overlord Battlecruiser is a looks like a really nice miniature. Of course, overall, I like the Hydrogens because they have a little, as I said, that little bit of a boxy look, which I appreciate. I'm thinking about another sci-fi. I think it was movie or a TV show, I forget which, that had the ships with basically engines which are kind of like the Hydrogens, actually, where they were boxy, these looking engines which were attached to the main fuselage of the ship. And that's what the Hydrogens remind me of. And I, again, you know, big surprise that I like that one and I like this one. So I guess five, unless you know, this is one of those things that, this is one of those podcasts that it really would be better if I could actually have a video podcast for the miniatures, because I think that would definitely do this a whole lot better. I got to look into that to see if how would I broadcast a video podcast? Cause I don't think I could get YouTube live. I'll go look around. Now they have a scale soldier model. Now this I like. This is cool, prickly. So it looks like a. To be honest, it looks like a pine cone. To a great degree. But okay, doesn't really show much of a difference when it comes to the picture. Oh, I've not looked at the shards, but that sounds, my guess is the shards will probably be consistent with that. Oh, there they are. Let me look at them. Ooh! Oh wow! Oh man! Look at this. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Oh yeah. Oh, I like those. Those are cool. Dave, you are right. Those are neat. Oh, I did not know that. Oh crap. Wow. You actually can, in 3D mode, you actually can zoom in. Did not realize that. Okay, cool. Yeah, digital preview. All right, the shards are pretty awesome. Oh yeah, and big surprise, small death probe. Actually, that looks a pretty basic cone design, but that's what death probe was. You know, it was a pretty simple ship. Ooh, that's one thing I did not look at. I like that. That is, I didn't look at the small one because the medium actually shows it a different angle. It shows it from the rear, which I think it's, let me bring that up. Okay, let me look at the 3D model of that. Because that's the good thing about the 3D models of these things, is that you actually can look at it, you can give a better idea of what it looks like overall. Oh, that's cool. That's interesting. I like that. Because the back end of it, where I'm assuming it's like propulsion is supposed to be spewing out from the death probe, it's kind of spiral. It has kind of a spiral thing to it, like a rifle barrel. You know how for the old rifle barrels, you could actually look inside. You can see it would twist the especially for what is it? Jeez, I'm thinking about the Civil War. I think Civil War guns, where it actually the inside of the barrel would actually be twisted. The idea was to twist the bullet to give it a better trajectory, a straighter trajectory. Which I think is really cool. Oh, The Lion Hunter, not too impressed. Again, we hit the Zinni battle, the battleship. Actually, look, for a Zinni, I like it. Has, I don't know, windows, the best way to describe it, I think, is what it is. Across the ship, which I like, because it gives the miniature some texture. The obvious question that occurs with ships like this, with miniatures like this, is those details. When you get assuming that you get a decent enough material, so they have, if you spend $26, where it has smooth, fine detail plastic, how much detail? Well, I'm assuming you will get pretty good detail. Wow, I did not realize that. Holy cow. They have the Zinni in black, pink, red, orange, blue, green, yellow, and purple. Why would you ever want... I'm sorry. Those are getting to the point where, okay, the reason why you buy the miniature is not to paint it. You buy the miniature, well, maybe just to play it with a single color. The idea is that maybe you get a fleet of a certain color, and maybe do a civil war. Okay, you have one fleet with is purple, another fleet which is orange. Makes it easier to know which side you're on in a civil war. When it comes to get those colors, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, you're going to use it as jewelry or just, I don't know. It's kind of goofy. Oh, beautiful. The C5 and C5K. Let me just look at these. Because overall it looks good. Yep. Oh, yeah. I like that. Yep. A little bit of that raised and lowered, to give it some texture on the wings. Reminds me of what's called Aztec-ing. It has a little bit of that, and I think that really okay. Okay, looks like the beautiful Lyran gunboats. I like them. Oh, yeah, that's taking on the Lyrans. Yep, they have the Wildcat battle cruiser. Nice Aztec-ing. Not sure if I like it on that. Let's see if they have ones without the Aztec-ing. Okay, there it goes. Okay. No, they only have it with that, with kind of the Aztec-ing, which I'm not so sure I like it for that one, but that's the only one they sell. Ooh. Let me look at the refitted. Well, actually, that's the refitted one, which is probably, yeah. Looks like the refits have the Aztec-ing. The non-refitted don't have the Aztec-ing. Ooh. Also, looks like the Stinger H's. Oh, those look good. Yeah. Let me just look at the 3D model of that. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Exactly as you expected the Hydran fighters to be. Nice. Though, the only issue I see with them is Actually, one question I have is, what do Tholian fighters look like? Do they also have a diamond shape, kind of, you know, on that? Well, definitely the diamond shape is what the Hydras look like. I don't know what the Tholians would look like. I almost would think it would be kind of similar, but I don't know for a fact for them, for the, you know, the Tholian spiders. And how many gunboats, they look good. Yep. Really nice set. Again, I like, you know, when it comes to all of them, the ones that I think I like, I'm not a fan of the Romulans. That's just because I'm me. The Federation old light cruiser, wanted a little more elongated. The Hydran Overlord, that's one of my favorites of this batch. And same for the Soldra, I think are the best, just because of they're unique, especially the shards. When you get nothing else, get like one of the normal Soldra ships and get one collection of the shards, because I think those are quite unique. Another one I would want to get would be at the very least a small, if not a large, death probe, because I think that would be those look quite nice. They're simple, but they're exactly as you would picture it a death probe to be. For, you know, from the SSD. And with that, I think we will wrap that up, the topic of the new Shapeways ships. Now, there is actually quite a little bit of discussion about things on it. And ooh, that they have actually showing something that might be coming out in July. One of those things actually is done by Matthew Lawson. Unfortunately, Matt cannot hear me at the moment. He's in the chat room. And it's the F-101C. Looks quite busy with all kinds of drones, which is kind of neat. Okay, let me look at this. I'm looking at the ISC. Oh, the ISC fighter. Okay, ooh. Actually, I kind of like that. It's kind of flat and chubby. You know, it's not a lot of defining lines. I kind of like that, actually. It goes well. ISC final design. That looks good. I vote no windows. Yeah. Okay. They're asking whether, you know, some people don't want to have the windows like they have on the Zinni battleship. No, we'll just have to wait and see what the final is for that. Anything else really quick? Actually, a Fast Hawk. Ooh. Now that. The Fast Hawk K, that's what I like. When it comes, I'm looking at the again the bow, not the boom, like the boom section where you have a bulb kind of thing up front, which is where the bridge is and all that kind of thing. I like this one because it's the front section is a little more elongated, of course. The funny part about that is that also the rear section is also elongated. I'm guessing to kind of match it. It's almost like took the Novahawk K and stretched it out. That's kind of the impression it gives. Okay. Gary is just mentioning that the Fast Hawk is among his favorite miniatures on the old 2500. And glad to see how well the Shapeways Fast Hawk K invokes the same design. Yeah. Matt's saying the nose isn't as long as the Mongoose version. Currently, I didn't want to add too much more mass to it. And I tend to agree with that. Holy cow. Charles Chappell is saying, oh, remember the Fizzer mouth on the rear extended, you know, discussion on the Mongoose render was quite lively on that point. It's like, wow. People, when it comes to miniatures, they can be really, really particular about all the little pips and things like that. You know, because, and I remember, I'm Steve Cole. When it comes to quality control, one of the things that they actually look for, they look for the pips. And if the pips aren't there, then it's not as high quality as it needs to be, in which case, what you get is what Steve Cole is currently doing, which is they currently have three more bags of what they call factory second ships. I mean, I'll read what Steve Cole posted yesterday. He said, these ships have all major parts, engines, struts, etc., but the ships themselves will have defects, be it missing metal, too much metal, or missing detail. Each, and that's about where they might be missing the pips. Each bag usually have over 20, a few more if the ship's on the small side, and add up to being a pound in weight, so that you're paying less than $3 a ship. These ships are all from the Starline 2400 series and do not include stands. Stands that can be bought separately. The pound of ships will be packed randomly. We don't know what is in any bag. We won't stick you with ships of all one empire. And for a price of $49.95, $50, we won't be able to pack a bag just for you. Many of our fans have found that these ships are good for taking game sessions or for starting with a miniature painting career. They're also good for creating battle damaged ships. I agree there. Somehow it doesn't hurt as much to further damage a ship already less than perfect. This special offer will run out of factory seconds, then run out pounds. This deal is only available directly from ADB. Big surprise. And he looks like he said five out of eight bags have been sold. So, what I'm wondering about is that if they run out of the seconds bags, the three more bags are sold, what will they do? You know, okay. I'm just seeing what else Steve Cole posted, but I definitely want to read that because of people who are into miniatures, they might be interested in the seconds. And actually, there's one thing that actually Steve Cole did mention, but you can use these seconds for, which is you can do battle damage. Also, if you want to, I'm not sure if they, I have to double check the website if they do this, if they sell parts. Basically miscellaneous parts, because I know they used to do that. Actually, was it save starships? You know, because they would would get all these ones that are battle damaged that really weren't quite perfect, and they would just get this box that they bring to Origins. It was great for the people who wanted to buy those kind of things. And one of the things also he did not mention into this, because that's one of the things that you can still do with the metal. I'm not so sure you can do with the plastics ones anymore. And that is if you want to piece together a hack, hack a miniature together. Well, along the lines of a ship that does not exist. Or just for a miniature does not exist. Oh, cool, Dave. Which Andrew Scout did you create? Did you create the courier or the eel or? I think there's one other one. Because I know that the eel is the smaller one, and the eel is the one with the. The large Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one with the large satellite ship. That's the Eel. The Courier, much smaller. Oh, but only based on the Cobra. Okay, I think that's the Courier. Which was, I still remember the original Courier, which was a whack job of a ship. Because I think, if I recall correctly, it had like one TR, one special sensor, and I think two phaser twos. It was a whacked ship. They modified it when they re-released the Andros with all the fixes, in the Captain's Edition versus the Commander's Edition. You know, the volume 1 through 3 of the Commander's Edition. Boy, I remember those days. Those were days of college. Yep. They're just mentioning, basically doing exactly as they, sorry, I'm not reading the chat room. Which makes it really hard. That is, Dave was mentioning that when he does a B-10T, which is one of my favorite trips, he takes the B-10 boom, cuts that off, the boom from, and takes the B-10 boom, which you can actually buy separately. And then he cuts off the boom for the tug, and then he attaches the two. So, you know, which is great. You know, I think doing that kind of work is great. Now, obviously, I think the plastic miniatures that are created from Shapeways, and I mean, especially, you know, from Shapeways, they're these molded, actually, these are 3D printed. These aren't molded, these are not plastic molds. These are 3D prints, which is a different material, which I, you know, my biggest concern, now I'll admit, I've never actually seen 3D printed miniatures. I don't think I've bought a single Shapeways miniature yet. No, I have not bought a single Shapeways miniature yet. And that is, I do not know how well they deal with being cut. Because my concern is that since basically it's 3D printed, 3D printed is to take a line of, basically a line of plastic. I know it's specialized plastic for a 3D printer. And then it melts the plastic and lays that down into little pieces, you know, possibly. And that, my concern would be that it would not form, you know, melt completely together. So that when you actually try to cut it apart, what would happen is that it would just start to crumble. That would be my concern versus like the ones that Mongoose did, which were, my understanding is that they were actually molds. They were molds for plastic, in which case basically you're extruding the plastic into the mold, and then it gets expanded and pushed into the mold, and then boom, it's like metal in that regard. So it's one piece of plastic. It's not strands of plastic which are kind of melted together. You know. Okay. So the Cobra is the Eel Scout. Thanks. What's the larger one then? Because I'm pretty sure there was one based on the Conquistador. Not Conquistador, sorry. The Mamba. Or, you know, or the Python, the large ones, because the Cobra was the mediums, and then we had like the Viper, which was the small ones, which are interesting little buggers. So move forward and onward. We just have a little more time for this evening. So why don't I do this then? Since we don't have extreme amount of time, though, obviously we can have more. As I mentioned before, you know, the whole idea of doing this podcast via Discord. The great thing about if we could do it using Discord, and I said I'm gonna look into this further, and I'll report back next week on it so I can just give you an update, not necessarily, you know, and then, you know, I can give you guys an update. And that is, obviously, my concern is control, make sure we have enough control. But the great thing about Discord is two things. One, with Discord, you can actually run it in a browser, so we can still do it like we do with TalkShoe. Obviously, we don't have the TalkShoe brand, but again, we don't have the problem that the TalkShoe has. That is, with Discord, you can download an app, and I'm willing to bet, and I have not tried this, I'm willing to bet that you could go to the Discord website, go into a chat room on the website, on your mobile device, and still communicate using the web, you know, a web browser on your mobile device, and still listen to the podcast. That currently is one of our big issues with TalkShoe, because we have more and more people that they drop in, you know, on their mobile device, and then when they find out is they can't listen to the podcast, they can't listen to the TalkShoe. They leave, and I'm pretty sure they don't come back. So, I think Discord would solve that issue. I said the big issue of that was what kind of control do I have? Do I have the ability to kick people out? Do I have obviously when it comes to saving the chat, I would be personally responsible for that. Versus, looks like, you know, that TalkShoe has the old chat logs, so. You know, if I don't capture it, I can actually go back and grab it, which is kind of cool. Though, again, I like the ability when it comes to, like, the podcast. I like to trim it if necessary. In some cases, I've actually cut out, like, dead space. In some cases where, you know, I have to get up in the middle of the podcast to go maybe let out my cat or... Because sometimes they like getting in the office and then they want out. And it's like, well, no. But they keep making a fuss and so it makes it a little too noisy. In which case, I go and like I do that and I cut that out of the actual podcast version. So the people who actually listen to me live get to see all the bumps. And of course, ever so often we have some idiots stop in on TalkShoe and say nasty things, and then I kick them off, and then I, when it comes to the podcast, I delete them as if they never existed. So, because I will not have that kind of stuff on my podcast. I don't tolerate it, and I don't think anyone would want me to tolerate it, because there was one, we had one guy, I still remember that it's obvious they were a teenager because they're talking about Star Trek, and you know I'm explaining Starfleet battles to him, how it's from the original series, and then of course then he brings up the topic of, you know, what happens when a human and an alien have sex, and it's like that's when you know it was a teenager asking such a. Most people don't talk about that. Yes, is that a topic? Yeah. You know, but there's so many topics I could talk about when it comes to Star Trek, period. Or it doesn't even need to be Star Trek. It could be Star Trek, it could be Star Wars, it could be any... I was about to say something which would, I'm sure it was patently false. Which was any... sci-fi universe doesn't handle the whole issue with disparate protocols. That is, that when you meet, because how many, I don't think we have the problem with Star Wars, but we, because of there's the whole idea is that you have the whole galaxy is under rule or has a certain system in place. For trading credits and all this kind of things. So there is kind of a galactic empire, which you can trade. You have this common currency, and obviously if you're out on the rim, they don't accept that kind of currency, so you have to figure out some other way of paying. But the one thing about that, about Star Trek that drives me insane sometimes is that one thing that they always kind of glossed over is the whole idea of communication protocols. You're assuming that all protocols are based on the same thing. You know, that is, they can be, I can easily see in Star Trek that okay, you have different kind of protocols, and you've listened to it enough. You can, a smart enough computer can actually figure out how the protocol all fits together, and then you can communicate. But okay, after you get past that part of it, the whole getting past the protocol issue, then of course you have the whole issue with verbal, you know, translations. Now, that was one thing that I thought was kind of interesting about the Enterprise series, which I think it was the Enterprise series. Yeah, actually it was the Enterprise series, which is they actually had on board a linguistics officer, a person who was in charge of figuring out how to communicate with other alien species, you know, other races, and how to do that, you know, and figure out the different languages, you know. And that, you know, obviously is something that I would expect, even with, you know, starting with the Enterprise, continue on to Star Trek, the original series. Now, obviously, that was kind of, I said, that's one of those things glossed over. And that's one of those things that kind of drives me crazy. When I watch it sometimes, when they're meeting, this is not when they're communicating with a known planet, which they've been in contact with before. It's when you are communicating with a new race. That's what drives me crazy. That they don't talk about any whole idea of miscommunication. Though there was the one, it was like a planet which is based on it was kind of obvious to anyone who was watching, is that they are, it's kind of Roman Empire kind of the whole thing, whole idea of Jesus and a short, you know, and kind of almost a short telling of that, at least the Roman Empire, because one thing they're talking about in the linguistics was the sun. Now, here's the one thing that gets me when it comes to, now, in that case, it might be the whole issue is translating into English, because anyone can tell you that if you would translate sun, S-O-N, and S-U-N, sun, those are two different things. Because you're talking about, you know, in Spanish or Latin based, you know, not English, you would actually have sun, you know, like soul, versus sun as in, what the Latin word for sun is. Can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, it's much different. The word is much different. And so you would never have that issue when it comes to miscommunication or the misunderstanding of that. Now, obviously, you'd still have the possibility of misunderstanding when it comes to, because we always have the issue with slang, you know. What, and we have problems with that today, you know, as the common one which I've brought up many times is like American English and England English. Common language, different vocabulary. The whole idea of number one that always pops in my mind is, of course, the eraser. For us Americans, an eraser is you know what's on the tip of a pencil, the way you use for erasing stuff. An eraser in England is a condom. I know for us Americans that seems like that seems very strange, but that's my understanding. So, you know, it's the same word, the same exact word, having two different meanings. So, you know, in Star Trek, their example is kind of poor. You know, in that case, you know, it's again, it's a whole issue with American versus England is. I have to put up the slang because I'm not exactly sure what you call what in England what they would call the erasers for a pencil. You know, what do they call them? I think they call it a rubber or something like that. Maybe I'm getting an example mixed up. But anyhow, you know, that's the whole idea. But anyway, moving forward from talking about Star Trek, obviously, I'll also move on to this quick topic, which is one of my... I'm not sure when it comes to expanding the universes, expanding products. When it comes to A to B, you know, how far they're going to go, they're willing to go at this point. Because I haven't heard much about the Triangulum, the Zircalians. I've been pretty quiet on that front. Obviously, A to B has been focusing on Shapeways a lot. They've good for them. That's, I think that they have actually decided to curtail some of the Shapeways stuff, which I think is a good idea. Shapeways, obviously, you got a bigger market. That's the thing about Shapeways, is that they're not selling just to Starfleet Battles players. They're selling to the sci-fi market in general. And I can understand that's why they want to focus on Shapeways for a lot of it. But I know for me and many of my cohorts in the Starfleet Battles community, we would really, really like to see more product, you know, different products. You know, I would love to see Zircalians and the module, you know, the second generation X ships. I'm sure I'm not the only person that would like to see the old galaxy, you know, back in the old Tholian galaxy. I would love to see that expanded upon and the background material written for that. I would love to see that. That's one of my, that, to me, that would be the one, that's one of the things I would be, I'd be waiting in line for that one. That's me. Now, obviously, the biggest question is, in my mind, when it comes to expanding to another galaxy, would be the rules. Rules for any specialized weapons. The question would be, of course, my assumption, because of my when you have the Tholians show up with just their PCs, their shields work like everybody else's shields. So, which tells me that back in the old Tholian galaxy, they had shielding pretty much just like they had it in the Alpha Quadrant. There's not like we have in the LMC, where you have this whole concept of an outer shield and inner shield, you know, that kind of thing, which I think, in my mind, is that definitely, I think, detracted from that, from the LMC. I understand that it had to be something unique and something kind of cool. And I know Ken Burnside loved that idea. And the whole, I think VRP, you know, the reduction value for variable reduction something. It's been so long. But, so, you know, you have an amount of damage that it would be reduced by. You know, it's like, okay, this complicates things. It's a neat thing to have, but overall, you know, it just complicates things. But and the to me, the Omega is, and I've talked about this before. Anyone who's listened to me long enough knows that I've expounded on this whole thing, which is that when it comes to the Omegas, I think the Omegas overall, the weapons are okay. They need some work. That is, the balancing of them don't quite work out quite well, you know? And I'm not even talking about compared to Alpha, because that's when Barry comes on and always talks about comparison of Omega to Alpha. It's like, don't. You're invalidating any argument when it comes to balance. When you're saying, oh, well, it won't go well against the Klingon. Well, it's not meant. If you're in an Omega Quadrant, you're not designed to go against the Klingons. You know, you should be, you know, if you're the Maseron, you know, then you should be able to fight off the Fari. You should be able to fight off empires within your own part of the galaxy. Basically, in your own octant, that's where you should be able to fight off those things. And the weapon system should work generally well for that part, you know, for that set of rules, the different weapons systems and how they interact. And the one thing, as you've heard me mention multiple times, is I hate with a passion of a thousand burning suns, and that is the way the phasers are done. I truly understand they didn't want to duplicate the rules because they felt like, okay, they'd be duplicating the rules if they just said, well, you know, these are the rules for phasers, and these are and then you somebody would look at it and go, wait a minute, this is exactly what's back for the Alpha. You know, for the regular rules. It's like, yeah. But the way it was done is it feels like very disjoint. It's not a congruent set of rules. And that's one of the things that always has bugged me about the Omega rules, Omega rule book. Either incorporate the Omega weapons into the actual rule book, you know, including the phasers, or duplicate the rules for, like, just the phasers. That's the big one that bugs me, is the phasers. You know, because most part, you know, it comes to a lot of the other weapons, you know, other heavy weapons. For the Alpha, you know, each one is a unique weapon system. When it comes to seeking weapons, they're very unique. But they'll reference back to, the seeking weapon rules, which are generic for all seeking weapons. So that, you know, that's the kind of thing that drives me crazy with the Omega. And as I said, everyone here has listened to my podcast knows that drives me crazy. If ADB would just fix the Omegas and fix the Omega rules, I would be happy. To me, that'd be like a whole new product, because I know of the amount of energy that would be required to actually fix the Omega rulebook, meaning to take the rules and actually make them more playable. Are there issues in the current Master Starship book for the Alphas? Yes, and actually that was pointed out by I forget his name, and which was basically for the fast patrol ships and the damage allocation rules. Because Staley. Aaron? Not Aaron Staley. No. But anyway. Yeah, while he was doing, while the library, the keeper of the library, for SCP Online was doing the fast patrol ships, he was trying to figure out, okay, when it comes to damage, what weapons, what boxes get damaged with what box on the DAC? And Steve Petrick couldn't give him a satisfying answer, and I totally agree with him. That there's still those little, there's those corner cases that really have not been worked through when it comes to the rule book. Now, is it worth fixing them? It's an imperfect game. So I don't see them fixing it in fixing those kind of things in the future. But overall, I think, you know, AV's got, you know, as I mentioned before, one of my biggest concern when it comes to ADB is what happens after Steve's gone. I'm assuming after Steve Cole's gone, we'll still have an ADB. You know, we'll still have Steve Petrick. We'll still have Gene. We'll still have Mike, I think, who works in the warehouse. We'll have them. But, you know, we're all getting older. And the question is, how long after Steve Petrick's gone, after Steve Cole is gone, what happens then? Those are the two major game designers of Starfleet Battles in the Starfleet universe. Do we have multiple people who actually have written rules? Yes. Written most of the products. Not much surprise, but a good portion of products. You know, when it comes to Federation Empire, we got Chuck Strong. You know, and you've got other people who've done that, and ADB has done, you know, been giving them trust to write those. Of course, ADB still has final say because Lord knows they had the whole problem with Mongoose when it comes to the ACTA, you know, ACTA SF, you know, that, you know, they got the result and went, what the heck's this? You know, so they said, well, no, obviously we were wrong. We can't trust anyone else to give rules that really are akin, or really give a flavor of what Starfleet Battles is using that engine. You know, it just did not match it. They weren't good. So AB is taking control and they will stay in control of that. So with that, I think we will wrap it up for this evening. Had a nice little discussion about a little overview of the Shapeways ships. You know, all the miniatures that were added in the past month. You know, talk a little bit about the future of this podcast and maybe changing technology. I know I've talked about it before. Hopefully we'll move forward with something different because, you know, TalkShoe is not really, I was hoped with the new buyers that they would go forward and spend a little money on the TalkShoe platform, maybe create an application which can actually communicate on Android and for iOS. They have not done so. They haven't updated the web design at all when it comes to either the look or the actual functionality of the website. So they really they're keeping it for the content. You know, so I'm not sure if anything else will go for. We'll do that. I'm not saying we should abandon it. I'll probably still post up the podcast on the platform because that's where I have my feed set. But maybe we should move to an alternate feed because as I've said, we've had some issues with TalkShoe in the past where sometimes we lost the feeds. You know, but I have the website sfuoncall.com. So that also I post the podcast there, and also there's a feed right there too. So if you want to download it from there, feel free. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.